Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we have watched two Disney movies to help us to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month, and that is Coco and Encanto.
I first saw Coco years ago, probably when it came out, and I didn't really remember it as well as Encanto because I think that was more recent. So when Kaylee came to visit, we watched it together, and I think I forgot how much I liked Coco.
I loved Coco. It was such a cute movie, and I feel like the music in it was so good, and the animation was so good. I would say in terms of animation, I think for a lot of it, I'd say it's up there with some of my favorite animations or animated films that I've seen.
Ooh, okay. That's a claim. I like it. I liked how colorful it was. I guess for people who haven't seen it, because I'm assuming most people have, but there's probably a good number who still haven't, it takes place around the Day of the Dead, and they're putting their offerings on the ofrenda, and the boy, who I can't remember his name.
Miguel.
Yeah, he wants to play music, but they're not allowed to do anything musical because, like, a great-great-great-grandmother, I don't remember how many greats, but she was married to someone who went off on like a music tour and never came back. So she got really angry and she banned music. And this little boy just loves music so much. And then he like goes in this little portal and he meets his ancestors in like the afterworld. Whole bunch of drama happens as well. But and then at the end, they welcome music back in.
It was super, super cute. I feel like I like that one because I feel like the story is really good, and I also just really like all of the characters. And one of the things that I think I appreciate about this one compared to Encanto is I feel like it's not as Disney cookie cutter as Encanto is. Because I feel like sometimes, this might be a little bit of a hot take, but I feel like sometimes Encanto kind of goes towards that super cookie cutter Disney, whereas Coco I feel like is a little bit less so.
Ah. So I just did a quick Google, and I'm wondering if it's because Pixar played a role in Coco.
Oh.
Because I agree, Encanto is very much the Disney, quote, princess formula almost. Even though, like, she's not technically a princess, but it has that very stereotypical Disney feel. So I was just wondering how much having, I think Pixar, I don't know how, produced or something. But that might have helped change, like, the feel of it.
Ah, that's very possible. But both movies, I think, are really good. Both of them have some really great songs. So should we take a minute to talk about the songs in these movies?
Why not? Because I feel like for Disney, that's why you watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Or a big part of why you watch them. And I think Coco songs were kind of more just, like, kind of like regular song type feel to them, where the Encanto songs, I feel like each Disney soundtrack has like a list of things they have to hit, and they had them for that.
Yeah, I feel like with the Encanto songs, I feel like it's a little bit more entrenched in the story compared to the Coco songs. Not that the Coco songs are not important to the story, because obviously you've got songs like Remember Me, which plays a pretty key role in the whole story, but I feel like you also have songs just for the sake of having songs. Whereas Encanto, it's all like, let me tell a story through this song.
I think the way I distinguish it is Encanto is kind of your typical Disney musical, where I don't think I would call Coco a musical. I think Coco's more just a movie with music.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So did you have any songs that stuck out as favorites or least favorites?
I don't think I'm as well versed in the Coco songs. I've obviously heard them in the movie and I like them, but I never really listened to them. But I have an attachment to the Encanto soundtrack because it must have come out sometime around then. Or it could have been that's when I watched it, because my mom had gotten Disney Plus around winter break of my 1L year. And so I was just listening to the soundtrack when I would do my studying and stuff. So I feel like I have a special connection with the Encanto soundtrack that way. Also, just the instrumental versions of the songs are pretty good to study too.
I could see that. For me, this might come as a shocker, but I really liked the Coco songs a lot. Remember Me, I think, is always a good one. I also really, really love the La Llorona song. I think it's so good. I love it so much. It's like one of my favorite songs in the whole movie. But for the Encanto songs, I feel like I don't have that much of a favorite. I think if I had to pick, I'd say maybe the one like We Don't Talk About Bruno.
Oh, Bruno. See, I feel like I've always liked, and I feel like those are such basic answers on the Encanto soundtrack. I like the Surface Pressure one and the What Else Can I Do one, just because it's like, here's the thing, it's very in your face. They're not trying to hide the message of the song, but I just like the vibe, right? Because it's like, the first one is like the person's trying to be all stoic and hide everything, but like they have emotions and feeling underneath, and that's important to recognize. And then the other one is like the pressure to make everything perfect all the time, but it can't be and it won't be.
Is that the one that Luisa sings?
Yes. The sister, the flower sister.
Oh, just kidding. Not Luisa then. It's,
I don't know the names.
But I know who you're talking about. I thought it was Isabella. So, of all the characters, who do you relate to most in these two movies?
Ooh. I'm not really sure if I related to somebody in Coco super strongly. I think I just enjoyed watching it. I really liked just the family members that were already passed away, like the ones that were in like the other world, because I feel like they were just very comedic, their whole interaction with each other.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of Encanto, I mean, I'm not sure which one, but I feel like it would probably have to be one of her sisters.
I agree with you in terms of Coco. I think that while I appreciate all the characters, there's not somebody who I'm like, oh my gosh, I relate to this person so much. I think in terms of Encanto, I probably relate to Luisa the most because I feel like she talks a lot about how she feels like pressure to do everything right or to be the one who's like supporting everything. And I really related to that. And also, I just really like that she was super buff. That's what I'm trying to do with my 100 pushups a day that I haven't been doing for like the last 2 weeks. But I appreciated her. I very much related to her. I felt like she was really cool.
Yeah, I'm thinking between the two, you could tell me if I'm right, but I feel like I would probably be more of an Isabella, especially younger me, because I very much had the, like, everything had to be perfect. Like, I had, like, I was that kid that, like, got a B and would be upset because I would tell myself I did badly. Like, I, you know, wanted things to just be, like, I guess perfect, right? Any variation off the plan would kind of derail me sometimes. And I think kind of like what happened to her when she, in the song, and then she grows all these pretty flowers, but then she makes a little cactus with the spines. And then you realize sometimes things are like a little prickly, a little different, but you're still doing good.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that.
But I do like the whole Luisa could be super buff thing, because girls could be super buff if they want to.
Yeah, you know, I think there was like a whole thing about it before they came out with the movie where they were debating how to make her character, and they didn't think that she was going to be like the most popular character, quote unquote. But it sounded like, in terms of like merchandise sales related to the movie, it sounds like she was one of the most popular characters in the movie, and they were like kind of surprised because they thought it would be Isabella or they thought it would be Mirabelle, because they're more like, I guess, what has traditionally been viewed as beautiful in film.
I think that's what Encanto did really well. I think people were able to relate to the character, specifically, I would say, like, one of the three sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what really drove the movie, because, say, like, with Luisa, it's like, she's very strong, but also it's like, she's trying to be the fixer of the family. Like, when everything goes wrong, she's trying to be like, oh no, like, let's make everybody happy, like, let's hold it all together. So I think, especially in families, like, say, if you have siblings or stuff, you can kind of see how their fictional family plays out in, like, your own family dynamics. I think Coco got some buzz, but I feel like Encanto had a whole moment.
Okay, I think we should have justice for Coco, though. I think it was so good. I did like Encanto, but in terms of, like, between the two films, I would say Coco was my favorite, hands down.
I feel like the vibes are so different because it's what you said from the beginning is Encanto feels like a very Disney movie where I feel like Coco, I don't know, it's weird because it's still Disney, but it just seems more like an animated movie.
I feel like you definitely like Encanto more.
I think I do like Encanto more. Encanto's for when you're looking for that Disney vibe. The whole, she has a conflict. There's a bunch of empowerment songs. And at the end, she's like,
fixed the issue.
Yeah, fix the issue, come into herself, that whole thing. I think also the newer Disney movies like that are a little easier to buy into the quote Disney narrative because it's like she kind of did it herself. Like she didn't wait around for some prince to come and save her. Like the old Disney movies, I'm not like, rah, rah, yay, Disney narrative. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean.
I also love it when, yeah, it must have been Isabella because the, I don't know, something like some random guy from the village was going to date her or something. And then in the end song, it's something about like, he says, oh, and we should get married. And she's like, wait a minute, like slow your roll, slow down. And I just thought that was funny. Like a big switch from the other Disney movies where they're like, let's all get married at the end. Like, I feel like the traditional Disney princess movies pretty much all end in like a marriage.
Yes. And I feel like that also goes back to the values at the time that those Disney movies were made. Because at the time it was very much like, woman, you grow up, you get married, you have a family. That's like traditionally what a woman is supposed to do during that time. Right. But I feel like now we've kind of moved into a more modern era where it's like women can kind of stand on their own. And it's not necessarily something where it's like you need to have a man to be complete.
I think it also depends. And I think they're doing it better is how that romantic relationship is shown. Like, for example, in the original Disney princess movies, it's more let me sit around trapped in a castle till the man comes and saves me.
Yeah, I agree that that's a little outdated. I'm like, I don't know that I'd want to be trapped in a castle till someone comes saves me. Because like, okay, I feel like for the Disney movies, it's so funny because even though you have the Disney princesses, I feel like for half the movies, they're either like asleep or quasi-dead. Like, all the time.
Also, like, I'm just saying, in pretty much all the original ones, and there may be problems in the more recent ones as well, but I think they're just more obvious in the original ones, where there's some things that just would not be okay then or now, but somehow they were, like, okay enough to put in movies back then.
Yup. Mm-hmm. I have a good example for this one. The other day I was watching Snow White for the first time. Sleeping Beauty for the first time. And they were bestowing gifts upon her. And one of them was like, she's going to be beautiful. And I was like, okay. I was like, is that really the best you could do?
This just came to my head because, you know, the whole like, oh, like we should be telling both stories, right? It's okay to have like a romantic interest as well if you want to. I feel like Mulan. This goes back to why Mulan is the best Disney movie. Because she's a badass lady who basically saves China, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then she also has a thing for Shan. Anyway, I think Mulan's the perfect example of that because you can go off and do your super cool things and then you can also have a nice bow.
Exactly. I agree. This is why Mulan is the best Disney princess movie.
But we don't talk about the live action remake because they took the songs out of it.
They also took Mushu out of it. I still have not watched the live action remake, but maybe one of these days I will. I don't know if I can do it.
After our Disney as a whole tangent, I just think it's good that they're putting out these types of movies that aren't just your... I don't know if this is true, but I feel like a lot of the original Disney movies gave European princess vibes. Maybe because we don't have princesses here, so I just assumed it was Europe when I was younger. Also, I think a lot of them based on old European fairy tales, so that could also be it. So I like that they're branching out. I do think they need to do more because, first of all, a couple movies, Encanto and Coco, there might be another one or two, is not a huge amount considering the size of the Disney catalog. Also, I would like Disney to know, not that they're listening to this, that there are also other regions of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get cracking on that too. Please and thank you.
Yeah, I feel like they've been better over the last couple of years by trying to incorporate more of these stories and trying to like produce more of the stories. But I feel like there's still a long way to go. There's definitely not enough representation yet.
For example, I don't think we could do this episode for Asia because I think it's literally only Mulan. And for countries in Africa, I don't think there are any. And if are there any for countries in Africa or African heritage other than Princess and the Frog?
Yeah, I was going to say there's Tiana, but like other than that, I don't think so. Which I'm like, I feel like there should be. Like there's such a rich culture there.
Also, if they want to continue the fairy tale vibe, as we know, because we read something based on African mythology. I am sorry, I forget which country it was from. But you could dig into that mythology and adapt it like you did with all the princesses.
Yeah, that would be so cool. I would totally go and watch it if they did that. So I feel like with the whole Africa thing, I feel like part of what they've done is the Black Panther. But I'm like, that's not like a Disney princess movie. It's not the same. Your audiences are different.
Right, because Black Panther, I think, is very much like... Okay, I'm going to preface this where I have not seen it and I have know very little about the universe. But like, it seems like it's more for action superhero type viewers where I want my good old-fashioned Disney movie. Well, maybe not old-fashioned. Good new-fashioned Disney movie vibe. You know, with all the songs and the color and the animation.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what's one I haven't watched, though, is Turning Red?
Okay, I want to see that. I think that's another one that's like a Disney-Pixar combo, so I feel like it might be more like Coco vibes.
Yeah, I feel like maybe Disney-Pixar combo is more like up my alley compared to a traditional Disney.
I think that intellectually they are more up my alley. And I am by no means a Disney adult. I actually am confused by Disney adult. But there is something nostalgic about watching a movie that follows a formula so similar to what you saw when you were younger.
I feel like it's kind of comforting. You know, it's kind of like when you go back and you watch your favorite TV show or you go back and you reread a book. It's like you know what's going to happen. Or even, I'm going to even arguably say, or you go and you read a romance book.
I was going to say, it's like reading romance books because you know exactly what's going to happen.
But the way you get there is different every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not a spoiler that at the end of the day, Mirabelle saves the day because it is, yeah, that's a good point. Disney is essentially like a romance book.
It very much is.
Something I do love about watching Disney movies or Pixar movies is watching for the humor that they put in it for the adults that goes like straight over the children's heads. Because I'm sitting there and I'm like, haha, that's so funny. And then I'm also like, is this a kids movie?
I feel like they do that because they know that parents are going to be watching these movies with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we could just put this in here because it would be kind of funny for the adults.
Yeah.
Moving along.
This is an episode about Hispanic heritage Disney movies, in case you did not know.
It started as that. And then I think we just spiraled. But did we talk about which one was our favorite? We did already, right?
We kind of alluded to it. To sum it up, I would watch either. Again, I liked both. I think in terms of like a comfort rewatch, I'd probably go to Encanto, kind of like we were talking about, because it's the romance book of movies. Not Encanto specifically, but just Disney formula.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like the thing is with Coco, I think because they tied it to a holiday for me specifically, I feel like I can only watch it around that season, which I think limits it for me. That's a me problem.
This will probably come as no shocker to anyone. Loved Coco. That was definitely my favorite. I liked the music and I thought the animation was really good. Like, especially when you could like see through his hand or when there was all the glowy flowers and like the petals. I thought that was just so good. And also when you first walk into the city, I loved all of it. I felt like it was so imaginative. I was so on board for it. And I also loved that it like did give you a little bit of a glimpse into like what happens on Day of the Dead, like what is an ofrenda, like a couple other aspects there. I thought that was really cool. So that was why it was my fave. So our next book club, if you want to read books with us as well as watch movies with us, is The Only Good Indians by Stephen Graham Jones, and that will be dropping on November 6th.
We hope you enjoyed our discussion on Coco and Encanto. If you have thoughts, whether related to those movies specifically or our other Disney commentary, feel free to send us an email at zillennialspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @zillennialspodcast. Don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you are listening.